You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
What a great time of year. I've said it a million times. I'll say it a million and one. I love this time of year. What a busy show we've had tonight. Welcome back to TPC. James Edwards, Keith Alexander with us for the first hour. We talked about Cindy Hyde-Smith winning that seat to the United States Senate out of Mississippi. We talked about the caravan, Trump on the border, the Sentinelese immigration policy, Jerome Corsi's legal woes. Into the second hour, two great guests and not enough time. Big Cat Kayla from A Comfy Tangent, really high on this young lady. Paul Fromm, an old friend, but both great. Talked a little bit about prison reform that hour, too. Christmas music all throughout, and now we got Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And before we get to Eddie, we've got a lot to talk about this hour, too. I want to tell you, and I got to tell you, I got to. I don't want to. I have to. I need to. TPC's Christmas incentive. Now, we're about to wrap up what I consider to be TPC's absolute best year of broadcasting, and I mean ever. When it comes to the quality of topics and the guests that we've had on, our on-air content this year has been better than I think it's ever been. Consistently superb. And I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and our listening audience for making that happen, making it possible. Now, we want to keep fighting. We want to keep fighting. We want to keep advocating for our issues on the AM radio until the victory is secured, but it's not going to happen without you. It can't happen without you. So sustained support from our listeners enables us to continue to serve as your voice on the AM airwaves when such a presence has never been more critical. We're guided by nothing more than our insatiable ambition to deliver you results. So we ask you now, ladies and gentlemen, as our Christmas fundraising drive, the fourth quarter fundraising drive for TPC officially kicked off this week. It's going to run through the end of the month, but we're asking you during this season of giving and goodwill, can we count on you to put TPC on your Christmas list? We've got some big plans for improvement as we head into next year's 15th anniversary. Can you believe it? 2004 to 2019. It's going to be the 15th year of the show, and we've got big plans for improvement next year, which is going to include a total renovation of our website, which we're going to debut on January 1st. If we can make it there, we're going to debut this on January 1st. Our web team and graphic designers are already working on it. January 1st, all new website. All new intros, outros, bumper music for the show. We think you're going to love the upgrades to our production. We can't wait to roll them out to you once the calendar flips to 2019. But help us get there first. And in order to get there, we absolutely must have a successful month to close the fiscal quarter. We're counting on you to make that happen. We exist to serve you, to minister to both your mind and soul as we share the ups and downs of life together. My favorite quote of all time comes from Confederate Major General Patrick Claiborne. He once remarked, quote, "If this cause that is so dear to my heart is doomed to fail, I pray heaven may let me fall with it while my face is toward the enemy and my arm is battling for that which I know to be right." Well, we would all echo you in that, General Claiborne. I know Eddie the Bombardier Miller would. I don't know exactly how the coming months and years are going to play out, but I am certain that so long as we're together, we will find hope and comfort. Together, we can turn this thing around. Together, we can prevail. Let us stay together a little while longer, won't you? Please help us do that by going to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight and making a safe and secure online contribution to the show. We thank you for that steadfast support. It wouldn't be possible without your faithful giving. And as someone once wrote, may that one in whose honor we observe Christmas bless and keep you this month and always. Folks, we always have a gift for you. This time it'll be a Christmas gift. If you donate $100 or more to our Christmas fundraising drive, and why don't you just go ahead and do it tonight? That would be great. I enjoy a thrill ride as much as anyone else, and as I say so often, many times it comes down to the last couple of days of a fundraising drive before we find out whether or not we're going to be able to make the bills and meet the budget. But if you donate $100 or more before December 31st, and tonight isn't too late, you can go ahead and do it tonight if you want to. You're going to get an autographed copy of Paul Nalin's book, Wage the Battle. Now, you know Paul Nalin. He's become a fast friend of ours. He's appeared twice on the show in just the last few weeks. Paul Nalin's campaign against Paul Ryan was one of the most fascinating stories of the past 2 years. This book is a must-read. Paul Nalin sent me a pallet full of these books. But you know what he did before he sent them to me? He took every single one of them out, and he autographed them just for you. Autographed copies of Paul Nalin's book, Wage the Battle, if you donate $100 or more, tonight or anytime before the end of the month at thepoliticalcesspool.org, or you can send us a check or money order. If you donate $1,000, Eddie will give you a kiss. That's I got to turn Eddie's mic back up. I turned it down. Hey, but $100 or more, you're going to get the autographed copy of Paul Nalin's book. He sent him down here for nothing. I offered to pay him. He wouldn't have it. He wants to help the show raise money. He sent down a whole bunch of autographed copies of his book, Wage the Battle. $100 more, you're going to get it. So go donate tonight, and we would appreciate it. And with that being said, I want to tell you one more thing before I bring Eddie on. We've got a new service that we just debuted for our listeners. You can read about it. We posted it last Monday at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I mentioned it a few weeks ago, but we're going to reiterate it tonight. My pastor has signed on to be, I guess, our de facto chaplain, if you want to call it that. He was so uplifted by so many letters and emails that came in to him from listeners of the show when he took that righteous stand with me when the Southern Baptist Convention was trying to get him to throw me out as a member, and he just wouldn't do it, and they ended up disfellowshipping our entire congregation. But so many of you, when you were remembering that story, sent him in letters and emails of encouragement that I forwarded to him, and he said he told me some weeks ago that he wanted to return the favor. We were out for a walk, and he said that and I told him about the prayer requests we received, people going through divorces, people going through illnesses and hard times, financial distress, even people celebrating births and marriages. We share these ups and downs with our audience, and people send us in notes and letters and emails of what they're going through in their life. And pastor said, you know, if it'd be all right with you, James, I'd like to be able to pray with them, pray for them. Now, my pastor's prayer doesn't reach God any more efficiently or better than yours or anyone else's, ladies and gentlemen. But I do believe that there's comfort in community. And his heart's in it, and I know for a fact that God hears the prayer of a righteous man. And so my pastor, for what it's worth, and I know some people have already sent us in some emails, and my pastor just want to be able to pray with you, and so do we. And so that's a service that we have just now announced at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. And so you can drop us an email or an old-fashioned letter, and just let us know how we can, if we can do nothing else for you, how we can pray for you. We want to serve you here on the AM radio. We want to pray for you. We want to fight for you. We want to minister to your mind, body, and soul. So as we're asking for your support for our Christmas fundraising drive, we want to also know that we want to support you through this prayer ministry that my pastor has taken upon himself to volunteer for, and it's just a volunteer position just like the rest of us. That's what's going on here at TPC this week. We just kicked off our Christmas fundraising drive. Please donate. You get $100 or more, gets you the autographed copy of Paul Nalin's book, Wage the Battle. Let us know how we can pray for you. Pastor's here as our chaplain, and we'll try to get him on for the end of the month before Christmas. When we come back, Eddie the Bombardier Miller,
though. Testimony when we come
stay
back.
Stay tuned. Yeah, his Eddie's testimony when we come back. Good
sense. As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Eddie, is it just me or does this music stir your soul? And I don't just mean your spirit. I mean to the very fiber of your being. Is there something about this time of year that brings you closer to God?
Well, I think about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's an old hymn. And that's what that does. That's a joyful noise. And it really reaches to my soul. It certainly does. Speaking of which, hey, you said you update the website and everything. God, I love the music. I hope you don't get rid of all the music.
Oh, no. Well, no. We've got some. Yeah, it's out.
I don't like change.
Well, I don't either, but it changed before. We're gonna update the bumps a little bit. Still going to be art. And the website's still going to have all the same great functionality that our readers and listeners enjoy now. It's just going to have a nice little jazzy new look and a little new logo for TPC at 15, 2004 to 2019. Oh. Just so long as, of course, we can make it there, and we make it there by them supporting our Christmas fundraising drive and getting that autographed book for Paul Nehlen. But then, you know, we were mentioning for lack of a better term, and I don't want to be cheesy here, the prayer ministry. We want to be here for our audience, and I do believe there's power in prayer, and I know you do too.
I know for certain. In fact, I was James can back up everything I say. I did a broadcast from the Intensive Care of Methodist North. You may have heard this story before, but listen, it hadn't been that long ago, that many years ago. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was in miserable shape. I was seeing a psychiatrist at the VA. I saw the cardiologist at the VA. I saw the nephrologist at the VA. It's for the kidney. I saw the neurologist for brain damage, neurological damage. I remember praying to God back around 2009, 2010. I said, God, please let me run someday because I'll see people running, and it gives you such a feeling of freedom. There's no freedom like the freedom of being able to run. I couldn't run. I was the worst possible health, psychological, mental, you name it, intellectual. I was an intellectual, psychological, physical wreck. And people, I'm telling you what, I prayed and prayed and prayed. It took me 2 years. I prayed. I have no reason to lie. I'm not going to ask you for a donation in my ministry, but I'm telling you, this is the flat truth. I played for 2 years, and listen, I was 65 years old, when I ran my first marathon. That was 15 marathons ago. I just got through running New York, and it wasn't Eddie Miller. It wasn't the Bombardier Dude. It was God Almighty, faith in God Almighty, faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I say bring the minister on like yesterday. I'm telling you, people, I have no reason to lie. You need to put your trust in God Almighty, and we have the minister to do it.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. There's this
James can back up everything I say. He was there.
This absolutely. And there's this article by our friends at faithandheritage.com. It just put out this week, Christian societies cultivate a natural aversion to diversity. And Sam, you can let me know if there's still an echo there. I'm hearing a little bit in my headset. But there at faithandheritage.com, a recent poll in the United States found that despite nearly every evangelical leader's race pandering and propaganda for diversity, even today, a majority of white evangelicals in the United States view the country's increased racial diversity in a negative light. When you combine these results with that of another recent poll over in Europe, it becomes evident that Christian societies, and this would be for all of our alt-right friends who say, who blame Christianity for the problem, Christian societies, even in this day and age where our enemies have hijacked not only the media, entertainment industry, and academia, but even our pulpits, Christian churches still maintain and even cultivate a natural aversion for religiously and racially mixed societies. One could call it a distaste for diversity, to employ the commonly used language, but this is misleading since these multicultural societies are, in fact, antithetical to the real diversity of God's creation. What this recent Pew poll conducted throughout Europe has shown is that in countries where Christianity, pay attention to me here, ladies and gentlemen, the poll shows that in countries where Christianity plays an important part in the national life of the people, a smaller minority of the population support interracial and interreligious marriage. When asked if they would be willing to accept Muslims and Jews in their family via marriage, the most nationalist responses came from Armenia, the world's oldest Christian nation, where 72% rejected interracial partners and interreligious partners. You see similar patterns in other Central and Eastern European countries, where a majority of Lithuanians, Russians, Croats, and Poles, and Romanians view being Christian as an integral part of their national identity. And this is accompanied by a strong aversion to many degeneracies, such as legal abortion, legal sodomite unions, as well as aversion to interracial and interreligious marriages. Now, this is coming from Christian countries such as Lithuania, Russia, Croatia, Poland, and Romania. You sadly see the opposite trend among Western European nations, the ancestral homelands of most of our listeners here tonight. In the Netherlands, for example, only 22% see Christianity as integral to their national identity, and 9 of 10 Dutch have no objection to intermarriage. Support for sodomite unions is as high as 86% and legal abortion at 84%. Similar trends can be found in Scandinavia. These correlations are by no means coincidental. Scripture prophesizes this in Romans 1. Where people start hating God, natural affections also die, and hatred for their own people and children naturally follow. Apostasy leads to death. We should, though, be encouraged by the cultural impact that Christianity's reemergence is making in Central and Eastern European countries, as well as the fact that most white evangelicals in the United States still to this day have maintained much of these traditionalist sentiments despite the radical leftist agenda being pushed by their leadership. Eddie?
2 points. You know, there's also been, before I go to the other poll, there's another poll, and I want to get back to the poll James talked about. There's also a fact in every single case when a nation, going all the way back to ancient Israel, when they go back from obeying God, go back sliding back into apostasy, going back into paganism, these children are always sacrificed first. They start, you know, in ancient Israel and ancient, you know, they would sacrifice their children to God. The Philistines, sacrifice their children to Baal. They would burn their children alive, sacrifice them to the pagan gods. Here in the United States now, you see almost the same thing. They have a total disregard for the children. We have extremely high abortion rate here in the United States, sacrificing our children to the god of political correctness. And we also see, you know, a pandering to the homosexuality here in the country. Now, I'd like to also point this out. Anytime you see a poll taken anywhere in Europe, you have to take some of that with a grain of salt, because in Europe, I know in Germany and probably France and Austria, Hungary, there are penalties. You can go to prison for voicing the wrong opinion. You can say, well, if you believe that, for instance, the Jews have a disproportionate amount of influence in the media, if they have a disproportionate amount of influence in academia, you can actually go to prison for that. So if you know what, for instance, I was there was a poll recently that was given James. You may know about this. A poll in Europe, and asking the people if they thought that Jews did have a disproportionate amount of influence in ratio to their population in the academia, in the media, in the movies, in the banking. And they got about a 25% of the people answered, yes, they do. And you have to realize in these countries there that they can go to, knowing they can go to prison for answering wrong, they don't know when they're taking these surveys and answering these surveys, they have no clue who the survey taker is. It could be some agent just trying to entrap them. So with that being said, the 25% of the people saying yes, they did have a disproportionate amount. The Jews did have a disproportionate amount of influence in banking, academia, news, etc. That if it's 25% said yes, what you're probably looking at is about 75%, because a lot of people are too afraid to answer that, James. That's the reason I was listening to that on another talk show. Yep. You know, but keep that in mind. I think it could be. It's looking. We do have some good news here.
Well, there is good news in some parts of Christendom. It has reawakened in the East, the West, I guess you could say, Eastern Europe. Eddie and I are going to cringe at the latest embarrassing development out of the Southern Baptist Convention when we return next.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm a prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher Certified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry. industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Jack. All I want for Christmas is you to help keep us on the air until January. And you can do that, ladies and gentlemen, by supporting TPC's fourth quarter Christmas fundraising drive. $100 or more before the end of the month, you get an autographed copy, hand-signed especially for you by Paul Nalen, his book, Wage the Battle. Help us stay on the air, please. And we've got some big year, a big year coming in 2019, if you can. And we look forward to each and every night we have with you throughout the remainder of December here and the Christmas season and on for as long as we can, ladies and gentlemen, as long as you will allow us. Well, Eddie, here is the latest news that we've been talking about, what's going on in sincere and legitimate Christian nations. They are seeing a reawakening. They are standing up for godly principles in Eastern Europe. They are standing firmly against sodomy, against abortion, against a lot of the other degeneracies that have taken root, hard root, deep root here in America, not just in our secular society, but in our churches as well. And here is the latest embarrassment out of the Southern Baptist Convention. So the headline reads, Southern Baptist Seminary in Me Too Age appoints women's support coordinator. So Southern Baptist Convention in Me Too Age appoints women's support coordinator. It was announced this week by the Southern Baptist Convention that Garnetta Smith, a black woman, will provide women with, quote, a safe, private opportunity for complaints or requests for assistance. There is no tolerance in the Southern Baptist Convention for sexual harassment. And okay.
And no tolerance for white people, it seems like.
Yeah, certainly no tolerance for white people. We knew that. But here's the thing. So the Southern Baptist Convention now in the age of Me Too, this is once again another example, first of all, by the way, of the world influencing the church rather than the church influencing the world. So now we have this Me Too phenomenon where if you ask a girl out on a date, you've raped her if she thinks you have. And so they've appointed this black woman to provide support for women. You know who should be the support of the women in the Southern Baptist Convention? Their husbands. But their husbands are too cucked out, and believe me, I've seen them when I visit some of these other churches, especially Bellevue Baptist. you see how weak and effeminate these men are, and they can't protect women. Not with, you can just look at them and you'd know. It's just something, if you see it, you know it. And so they've got this black woman now. Now, how is she going to justify what I am expecting is a pretty handsome annual salary?
Do
you justify that salary if you're this black woman who has now been appointed as the Me Too czar of the Southern Baptist Convention? Well, you are going to have to make sure that you have a steady stream of complaints coming into your office for you to preside over, or else why would you? What would be the necessity of your position? And in fact, there is no requirement for her position. How many people, Eddie, we were talking about this in the break. How many women do you think have been legitimately sexually harassed by other men in the Southern Baptist Convention? I would say probably single digits per year, statistically zero. I bet you it's never happened, to be completely honest. But if it has, it may be to the tune of but how you define harassment, if you're asking them out on a date and that's harassment, then yes. But if you're talking about real, what any normal, sane, legitimate person would define as harassment, out of a church body of millions of people, I bet you would have maybe legitimate complaints in the single digits per year. But now you've got this woman who's, I'm sure, being paid very well to be the czar of this and to field all of these complaints. And what's that going to create? More complaints, most of the time imagined and not real.
That's right. You know what? My grandfather, may have mentioned this to our listeners. My grandfather, my paternal grandfather, was a Baptist minister. He was a Free Will Baptist minister in Bloody Breath of County, Kentucky. I've lived here in the Bible Belt all of my life. When James has mentioned Bellevue Baptist Church, one of the largest Southern Baptist churches in the world. We have First Baptist. We have Faith Baptist. I've never heard of one case. I've never heard of one single case. And I was a member of Macon Road Baptist Church for several years. It's not nowhere near as big as Bellevue, but it's no small church. I'd say on a really, really good day, we probably had 400 or 500 people in there. You know, I've never heard of a single time. I'll tell you what, the men that I went with, that I was friends with in the Baptist church, they would not put up with any crap like that at all. I agree with you, James, totally. They're out there hunting. They're out there looking for dragons to slay. And it's also, I would like to know who appointed this lady. Who was responsible for creating this department? I would like to know that.
I'll tell you who it is. It's Al Mohler, one of Russell Moore's sidekicks.
Uh-huh.
Al Mohler of
yes.
the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
And you see, you know what my next question is. I know you know what my next statement / question is going to be. What is their motive behind this? It's just another nail in the coffin of the evangelical movement here in the United States, in evangelical Christian churches here in the United States. The church is about dead anyway. It's almost dead. It's on life support.
Well, they've still got a lot of members, and they've got a lot of people who tithe. Now, their members, most of their members have no idea that what we just talked about, they don't know what goes on. They don't know that they've banned the Confederate flag and that they hate their ancestors and that the modern leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention says that in order to find Christ, you have to hate your ancestors and all of this other stuff. Most people of the Southern Baptist Convention don't pay attention to what goes on at the head table, but we do. And this is just, again, another case of the world influencing the church, as A.W. Tozer said it did many, many years ago. And not the church influencing society. The world is bringing the church down to its standards rather than the body of Christ raising the world up to his standards. But it should be the men of the Southern Baptist Convention making sure that the women are safe and cared for and protected, not some black woman who now has a title given to her by cucked out so-called males like Al Mohler.
Well, to date, James, you've nailed it.
Yeah, if she's legitimate, let her volunteer.
That's right. You know what? To date, you nailed it. To date, there has never been any complaints. I don't know of any single woman who's been, abused, molested, have been touched inappropriately. You don't hear about that.
I've never heard of any case in the Southern Baptist Convention. Now they tried to say that Paige Patterson did that because he complimented a teenager on her looks, and that was like the equivalent of harassment. And of course, now you don't know if a 16-year-old girl is 16 or 20. I mean, you can't tell the way that they put on makeup. I mean,
well, they dress nowadays.
That's the truth, and the way that they dress. And so, you know, they had this thing back in the summer where this lion, this old guard lion of the Southern Baptist Convention, Paige Patterson, was accused of harassment or improprieties or being inappropriate for
being a male. He was accused of being a male.
Right. That's basically it. But I mean, but it was never suggested that he actually touched anybody inappropriately or anything like that. And they actually were able to kick him out too. I mean, there's a lot of kicking out going on.
By the way,
they kicked him out.
Did you see where the? This may be off. This is close to the topic. Did you see where the black female minister, what was it, the Kojic church here in Memphis, came out, and this is her words, not mine. She was saying, talking to men. She was interviewing the men, and they got her on YouTube saying that, you know, you can't be effeminate, you can't be a queer, you can't be a sodomite, you don't need to be any sissy in the church. These are the exact words I was using. I know you've probably seen it on the news here. And she's called, they've tried to give her holy hell.
We need to go to her church then.
Yeah. Well, she's an older black lady. And she pretty much said, I don't give a crap what you say. She said, yes, if it's on YouTube, if you've got on get me on tape saying it, I said it. And he said, guess what? I'll say it again.
Well, she's got more cojones than Russell Moore, Al Mohler, and the entire sum total this mamby-pamby. Mamby pamby.
She sure does.
Suicide cult combined. All right. Hey, we got one more segment. Somebody passed away yesterday. I don't know if you know that. We're going to talk about it with Jack Ryan as we close out the show tonight. Stay tuned.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Well, it would take a very special occasion for us to interrupt the stream of uplifting, inspirational, spiritual Christmas music with a standard from Queen. But there is, in fact, a monumental reason tonight, and Jack Ryan will tell you what it is. Jack, how are you tonight? And early Merry Christmas. I'll wish you Merry Christmas. I'm going to wish you Merry Christmas four times before the end of the month.
Yeah, we have some more early for Christmas, but I haven't been there. And I send you all my folks listening. It's good. A little wet and raw outside of Chicago, but it's good. And I know you talk to me and you say, hey, that's a little bit too much. That's too in your face and something like that. And I said, yeah, but that's the kind of guy I am, Jack, right? I'm in the face, and I just have to play that because this Bush family has been just a curse to our people, and they're our own people. They're white Anglo-Saxon Protestants like you and I, and they're on our side, but they're not, you know, and they've got all these ones. And so, I read the New York Times obituaries for one of our traitors or enemies, and the Bush family has been big-time traitors, four generations of traitors. And I George Herbert Walker Bush is my least favorite president. I had so much hope for the Reagan things, and it was all pissed away by this guy. And, so he's died, and he just bit the dust. And I'm playing Queen tonight. I'm good.
All right, Jack, if anyone couldn't connect the dots, Jack, let's be clear, why was that your intro song tonight?
Because George Herbert Walker Bush, the president, the father of the Jethro Bodine son, George W. Bush has died tonight, and he was the president of the United States. He's the ultimate vice president. Went to Yale, and he should have been on our side, but he just wasn't. He just pissed away all the things.
Well, you know,
Reagan won, and it's just like, man, and now he's dead. You know, he just died.
Well,
I'm having a great.
We didn't play Amazing Grace with bagpipes. It was Another One Bites the Dust. And by the way, Brad Griffin over there, we plundered Occidental Descent's Chamber of Resources when we brought Jack onto the show as a weekly contributor. Jack was working for OD before he started working with TPC.
Right.
But Brad actually has a pretty good post on George H.W. Bush, who died at 94. Now, I told Jack when he suggested his intro song tonight, I said, Jack, well, you know, that is a little hardcore, but Jack says, hey, I'm a hardcore guy. I said, okay, Jack, I'll back your play. You want to remember George H.W. Bush with Another One Bites the Dust? Let's do it. Now, my recommendation was, and I thought it was equally appropriate, but a little more tongue-in-cheek, I wanted to play Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young. And I think that still gets the point across. Only the good die young, and George H.W. Bush lived to be 94 years old. So, you know, there's a point to be made there.
More just like you've got an enemy traitor that died. I'm like, good. And this guy, I feel like it was just yesterday. I was in New York City, and I was a public school teacher. I'm there. And then the city in 1988 was so out of control. It was so chaotic and terrible crime and pornography, prostitution, and murder, and I was watching the inaugural speech of George Bush at a newsstand in New York City, and there was an Italian-American guy, and he's watching it, and there's a TV on, and saying, well, what's he talking about? Is he going to bring in the army? Is he going to, you know, kill these drug dealers and clean up the one? And then in immigration, I'm like, no, he's not doing that at all. And it's like, what is he talking about? And I'm saying, nothing. He's just talking about nothing. And it's just what it was. He's like, he's nothing. He's indifferent to the survival of our people, the culture. Barbara Bush didn't even know what a grocery store scanner was because she never did her own shopping. So I'm thinking, like, you know, that's what I'm dealing with. And it's not an evil, bad person or something like that. A skull and bones. This is the fraternity society. But some guy who's so up there, so elite that he doesn't see what happens to regular Americans is so common. The worst rhinos, the Mittens Romney, and these people are not part of some secret conspiracy or anything. They're just rich people that always go through things always wear a suit and tie and go on, and then he wouldn't protect their own people. I saw the Rodney King riots coming, didn't do anything about that. 2,000 murders in New York.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. You know, he went out to a black church in Los Angeles and was siding with Rodney, you know, the people supporting Rodney King.
But he did.
Very quick.
And he ran a pot of oil.
Yeah, you know. And
Poppy Bush.
What a great civil rights it is that a black American can't get drunk and get high on PCP and doesn't drive 80 miles, 100 miles an hour through residential neighborhoods. And like, there, I'm like, no, like, that's just like You shouldn't do that. And so this was our own people. This was a guy like you and I, a British, a WASP, like our guy, for whatever reason, he was always put up, and he was promoted for all the times, and vice president, president. He ran four times against affirmative action. He was for affirmative action, and he was against the Republican things, against being pro-life. He and his wife, even though they didn't, he was pro-abortion. So he's a very disappointing one, and he's my least favorite president. Stuff like
no. I want to toss it out.
Yeah, but
no. What you're saying? No, wait. Hey, everything you're saying is heartfelt and earnest. And Eddie, I want to turn it over to Eddie very quickly.
Right.
Quickly, Sam has a soundbite.
We
go,
have
Sam.
Before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
Yeah.
When we are successful, and we will be. We have a real chance at this.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Constitution was supposed to be for.
Poppy, NWO Bush, and Eddie, you know, when it comes to somebody like Stonewall Jackson or Robert E. Lee, now, when it comes to a man's salvation, nobody truly knows except for him and his creator. But if I had to bet, yeah, judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. Judge a man by the fruit he produces. Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, I'd be willing to bet the house they're with Jesus Christ right now. George H.W. Bush, would you bet it?
Well, I'll tell you what. Anybody that runs a Zapata oil company was, you know, Zapata, Emiliano Zapata was a Mexican criminal. And anybody who does that, anybody who distributes drugs in L.A. and creates the Bloods of the Crips, I'd say he's probably in hell right now. And that's who did it. You know, when Poppy Bush ran Zapata oil. You know,
CIA
he had Zapata
all
oil.
The way.
He had the oil derricks in the Gulf of Mexico. It was supposed to be oil derricks. He was taking dope from the oil derricks into L.A. He did. He created the Bloods of the Crips with the CIA. That's what Poppy Bush did.
They're not in heaven. They're not in hell. They're in some place where just a bunch of idiots. But no one wants these people like there, because they just, like, he's mouthing off of the stuff about a new world order, United Nations. I took out, it feels like yesterday,
Global Purgatory,
Tennessee,
yeah.
And I took out full-page advertisements in Nashville, Tennessee, and Chattanooga Times opposing the first Iraq Gold War. And I quoted George Bush about the United Nations, the New World Order. And I just listed all the obviously terrible people that are pushing this war. It's the Emir of Kuwait, the Saudis, Sunni Islamists, the Israeli lobby. And I pushed it in there, and I did. But he just did it. But he's not a conspiracist. He's not a Satan Lucifer. He's just some idiot, confused guy that was somehow promoted throughout his life. And then he became the president of the United States. And then he had his son became the president of the United States, and his grandson. They're still promoting this stuff. So these people, these rhinos, these idiots are always around us. They're always going to be around them. And we got to deal with it. So, you know, it sounds mean, but I did play the Queen song, Another One Bites Dust, because I'm just really happy that he's dead.
Well, hey, Jack, Eddie, tell me if you agree with me on this. Now, this being an indicator.
Right.
If when you pass away, and the entire global press is singing your praises,
Four strikes against you. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, the entire American media is lamenting George Bush. They are,
right.
they, what a great man. If the entire global press, who we know is evil and corrupt and satanic to the core, if they're praising you, that does not speak well of you, I'm afraid.
I don't think they're going to be praising us when we die. I don't think so. I don't think we're going to be getting good obituaries in the New York Times or CNN, or I don't think the Hollywood community is really going to be singing our praises when we die. But I'm not singing George Herbert Walker Bush's praises tonight. I'm just playing Queens. Another One Bites the Dust. So he's just dead. He's gone.
At least he's gone. That's what counts. He's dead and gone.
Well, Hollywood, liberal, conservative, so-called whatever, Hollywood,
whatever.
The media, big, small, they're all singing Bush's praises,
terrible.
Eulogizing
all
him in the most flowery term. That is, I'm telling you, throw everything else out.
Both parties, too.
These
both
people,
parties.
I think even Trump, maybe. I mean, but if there's
things a little bit, you know, but he is, but he, Trump. Just Bush pretty big time in the campaigns, and Bush family was going heavily for for Clinton, because they're both Yaleys. They both went to Yale, you know, like that they did. So, yeah, that's one.
Well, Jack, this segment has gone by quicker than any of yours. I can't imagine how. It's unbelievable. George Bush, CIA, all the way. H.W., we'll see. Godspeed.
Creative.
Good night, everybody. We'll be back next week. Good night.
Good night.